Believe it or not, there was a time, this is before my adult clothing time, there was a time when this was considered the height of fashion for a man. I don't know about you, but I can totally see Ray in that. Debbie, Brenda, if y'all got any pictures of your husbands in that attire, we need to see that quickly. But at one point, this was, and you probably can't read it, but the picture behind them, there's actually a little sign that says, fashion forward looks. So this was like what was coming. This is in the future still, right? There was actually a time when men who went out in public like that were considered the height of fashion. There's actually a time when appliances that were the color of lemons and avocados were considered to be stylish and fashionable. When car manufacturers felt that was an appropriate vehicle to manufacture. When somebody thought that was a good hairdo. Even when you wanted to listen to your Electric Light Orchestra, you wanted some sweet talking woman or some Mr. Blue Sky, you didn't go to Spotify, you didn't even have a CD, you didn't even have a cassette, you had to pull out the old 8-track. Remember those days? All of that stuff has changed, right? It's amazing how much everything, literally, everything changes. And it's not just fashion. It's not just the color of appliances or hairdos. It's not just that stuff. Do you realize that we've lost a planet? Do you realize that for the longest time, people said we had a planet called Pluto, and now we don't have a planet called Pluto. We lost a planet. The solar system can change. Even scientific things. There was a time when bloodletting was considered a cure. When people thought that if somebody was sick, you open up a vein, drain some blood from them, and they're going to get better. Way, way, way back, it was thought that the atom was the smallest particle possible. The word atom means uncuttable, indivisible. In other words, you can't cut it up any smaller. And now, of course, we know about protons, electrons, and all those other ons that I don't know about. But it's changed. The thinking about those, you know, parenting styles have changed. Spank them, don't spank them, helicopter them, free range them. It just changes all the time. Everything, you know, think about, not to call out Brother Herb, but Brother Herb's getting up there. Brother Herb's been around a while, right? About 9 decades. Right? That's amazing. But I want you to imagine in 9 decades, nothing is the same. The earliest things that Brother Herb can remember at home, on the news, in the neighborhood, vehicle, whatever it is, there is nothing that he can first remember that is still the same. Everything always changes. Except for one thing. There is one thing that never changes, and that is the truth of God. The truth of God, the Word of God, the revelation of God, what God has said never changes. It is always the same. And with that, we will conclude. I don't mean this is the conclusion. With that thought, we'll develop. We'll conclude our series on the sure Word of God this morning from Psalm 119 and verse 60, which says this: the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Now that is an example of Hebrew parallelism, which is the primary teaching method in Old Testament books like Psalms, Proverbs, etc. Parallelism, which is the statement of a truth and the restatement of a truth, sometimes the contrast, but it's the statement of a truth and then another statement that somehow connects to it. And I want you to notice how these two connect. I want you to look at those two statements again. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. What is the connection between those two? What is the connection between the sum of your word and every one of your ordinances? Right? He says first that the totality. He looks at the Word of God as a whole, as an entity, as a thing. The Word of God. And he says, when I look at the Word of God as a whole, which for us is Genesis to Revelation, when I look at the Word of God as an entirety, it's true. It's true. All of it, taken together. But here's the thing. He then says that if you pull it apart and look at every specific word and statement, it's still all true. That's amazing. If you think about those of you who are members of the congregation here and have been here for a while, over the past 2 decades, in my work here as an evangelist, over the last couple of decades, you would say that my preaching has been true. If it were not, then I wouldn't be here still, right? I'd be gone. And so there's no question that if we ask people who've been here for a long time, has the preaching of David been true for the last 20 years? You would say yes, or I wouldn't still be here. But would you say every single thing he ever said is true? Would you say that every statement he ever made is true? You would not. Because it hasn't been. There are things that I have said that every single one of you have disagreed with. Ask me how I know, because a lot of you have told me. Which you ought to do nicely, remembering that I'm tender and I cry easily. But I have said something that every single person in this congregation has disagreed with at some point. You would never say everything David ever said is true, but you would say his preaching is true. Notice what the psalmist says about God's Word. It's all true, and every single word of it is true. That's an amazing statement. That's a remarkable thing to say and for us to believe about the Word of God. Now, I want to take a moment and I want to elaborate on this idea of never changing. Because as we break it down and think about it more carefully, here's sort of how it shakes out. There are some things revealed in the Bible that never change. There are some things revealed in the Bible that can change, and there are some things revealed in the Bible that were never required and are still not required. Okay? So let's talk about what that means. So let's talk about the things that never change. There are some things revealed in the Bible that can never change, no matter what, no matter what the hairdos are, the clothing is, the cars, whatever. Who's in the White House? Some things can never change. And those things are the character of God, the standards of God, and the purposes of God. Those things can never change. This is important to understand, and it's essential to accept. God's character can never change. God's standards, what He demands from us, can never change. And the purposes of God, what He wants to accomplish. So, for instance, and it's going to necessarily be simplified and brief, but here's what we're talking about. God's character as holy, totally other, totally different, totally Himself, perfect in every way. God's character as loving, in the true sense of the term, and God's character as faithful and dependable. Those things can never change. God will never not be holy. God will never not be loving. God will never be unfaithful. The standards of God, what He wants from us, never change. He wants us, more than anything, to love. Right? The Bible's clear about this. He wants us to love. Now, what does that mean? Well, He has to define it. But He wants us to love. He wants us to treat people fairly. and He wants us to be faithful to Him and dependable to others. Never changes. That can never change. The purposes of God can never change. God, from before day one, through past day, the ending day, God's purposes will never change. God's purpose above everything else, and this is so important and it's underemphasized and under-talked about. God's purpose ultimately is His own glory. That's God's purpose more than anything else. God's purpose is that now and forever He would be glorified, praised, adored, and appreciated. When it comes to us, God's purpose is that we be saved, that we be sanctified, which means changed for the better, and that we forever dwell with Him. Those things can never change. They will always be the same. But there are some things that the Bible talks about that can change. The specific laws that God has given can change. The specific worship practices that God has demanded over the years can change. Some cultural applications can change. We'll talk about a specific couple of things here in a moment. And there are some things that have never been required that will never be required. In other words, some things that you are free to make your own decisions about. And God doesn't care what you do with it. Right, we got a lot of people that are living in a whole lot of stress because they just can't figure out what is God's will for me in blank. Where to go to school? What to do for a living? Marry this person or this person? Have 3 kids or 10 kids? Okay, not 10, 3 or 4. Have, you know, buy this car, that, live in this city or that city. And God couldn't care less. Could not care less about so many things that we think that we've got to get right. Some things are completely up to us and to our freedom and decision to choose. Let me give you some examples of each of these and then we'll go on. God said, "Be holy for I am holy." He said it in the Old Testament. It's repeated in the New Testament. That can never change. The holiness of God can never change. And God's demand that we be holy can never change. It's in both testaments. It is unchanged. Now, there are some things that can change. Practice of the occult, witchcraft, horoscopes, that sort of thing. That stuff is condemned in both testaments. It's condemned in the Old Testament. It's condemned in the New Testament. It's never, you can't ever do. There will never come a time when God will say, "Okay, go ahead. Go see a palm reader." Never going to happen. Can't change. But, thankfully for us, the food laws have changed. Thankfully, they were forbidden from eating some things, bacon, that we can now eat. How awesome is that? So, at one point, God said, "Here's a list of what you can eat, here's a list of what you can't eat, and if you eat bacon, you're unclean." Personally, maybe it's worth it, but whatever. But He said, "If you eat bacon, it's unclean." You can't do that. But then Jesus comes along in the New Testament, and He says, "Bacon is just too much to keep from people." And so, Mark 7, Jesus declared what? All food's clean. Thank you, Lord. So now we can have that. It changed. Things like celibacy, whether a person should marry or not marry, totally up to the person. Completely up to the person. You decide whether you want to do that or not. Right? God's not going to, He doesn't have certain rules about that. Outside of a couple of very specific things, celibacy, marriage are things that you and I are free to choose. But we need to understand that the truth of God, the truth that God has revealed, never changes. And it doesn't change even if it's unpopular. Even if not many people like it. Even if you post it on Facebook and you get more mad faces than likes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Popularity doesn't determine the truth of God. There are lots more people today who believe X, so X must be okay. Popularity is, in fact, what does popularity usually mean? The way that leads to destruction is what? Broad. And the gate that leads to destruction is what? Wide. And the gate and way that lead to eternal life are what? Narrow. And what did Jesus say? And few are those who find popularity usually means it's forbidden. Usually. Doesn't matter if it's illegal. Doesn't make any difference if something is illegal. If God has said it's true, it doesn't matter what the lawmakers say. It doesn't matter. Daniel, the apostles, even Jesus were criminals. Jesus broke the law. The law was, in his day, you don't do that on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, watch me. He was a criminal. He was a lawbreaker. It doesn't matter what a lawmaker says is legal. Man's law is not true. We know this because it's always changing. Man's law is not truth. God's law is truth. And the flip side of it is, if it's legal, that doesn't make it right. Legal doesn't necessarily mean right. It doesn't matter if it's out of date. God's Word does not have an expiration date. God's Word does not have a statute of limitations. It doesn't matter how old. Being old doesn't make a law obsolete. One of the oldest laws literally in the world is the law of gravity. And nobody says, gravity, that's been around forever. That's too old. We're not going to worry about the law of gravity because it's so old. It doesn't matter. Age doesn't negate law. How many people disbelieve it? Doesn't matter. How many people disbelieve the truth of God? Makes no difference. That doesn't change it. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, let God be found true, though what? Every man be found a liar. I think we've got 8 billion people in the world right now. 4 billion of them are in Carteret County this weekend. And so that's fine. We're glad that you're here. We want you to come here and bring lots of money. If you're visiting with us, we love you being here. Keep coming, keep spending. We're all good. But it doesn't make any difference. How many people disbelieve what God says? Still true. It's still true. If all 8 billion people today said the Bible is false, it would still be true. Because God's Word is always true no matter what. Doesn't matter how much the Word of God is mocked and ridiculed. It doesn't. You know what they used to ridicule? The idea that germs cause disease. You know that when the first guy that figured that out, and he started putting it out there. You know, if you'd wash your hands, you wouldn't get sick so much. People thought that was ridiculous. What? Invisible little bugs causing disease? That's ridiculous. They ridiculed it. But you know what? He was right. He was right about that. You know what else was ridiculed? The idea that an airplane could fly. It's too heavy. There's no way something that heavy can fly. It will never happen. You know what else was ridiculed? Meteorites. The first guy that came up with what a meteorite was started talking. It's like rocks falling from the sky. People were like, you're crazy. Rocks falling from, what are you talking? That's not what that is. It was ridiculed. Just because something is ridiculed doesn't make it true. If ridicule negates the truth, Jesus is the most false thing that ever existed. If ridicule makes something false, Jesus is the most false thing that ever existed. Because He is the most ridiculed thing that ever existed. But He is true, and the Word of God is true. Doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. Doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. There's never a time for a convenient diagnosis of a chronic or terminal illness. There is never a convenient time. You're never like, oh man, what a great time to hear that. It's always inconvenient, but you don't ignore it. You don't reject it just because it's inconvenient. But a lot of people reject the Word of God simply because it's inconvenient. That troubles me. That causes me some inconvenience. And I don't like that. Doesn't matter. Uncomfortable. It doesn't make any difference how uncomfortable the Word of God is. You know, sometimes the Word of God, very rarely, I'll be honest with you, in the Bible, very rarely is the Word of God compared to something that you like, that's comfortable. Very rarely. The only time I can think of, honey, and I love me some honey. My kids don't like honey. I don't understand that. But that's okay. I love honey. You probably love honey because you're a normal human being. It's sweet. It makes you feel good. It releases endorphins. It's wonderful. And the Word of God is compared to honey, but it's not compared to it very much. Most of the time, the Word of God is compared to something that's unpleasant, a sword. Swords were not used for comfortable things. Oh, I got my sword and I can get... You don't do that on a sword. It's not comfortable, especially to your neck. The Bible is compared to a hammer. Hammer's very uncomfortable for something like a rock or a nail or something. It's very for a ceramic. It's very uncomfortable. The Bible is compared to fire. Fire, very uncomfortable to a piece of paper. The Bible is very rarely compared to something comfortable because it's not supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable. Doesn't matter how the Bible might be adapted by those who seek to compromise. Churches all over the world, and particularly in America, churches in Europe, far gone, long gone. Forget Europe, right of finish. The most conservative churches in the world, by and large, are in Africa. The most conservative churches in the world, by and large, are in Africa. The American church, as a whole, very liberal. Lots of compromise. Even though the Bible has taught, and Christians have believed for 2,000 years, that Jesus is the only way to be saved, Christians today are saying, just pick. It's all the same. It doesn't matter. All religions teach the same thing anyway. Just believe something and let's all coexist. Sexual morality. What the Bible has taught and Christians have believed about marriage and sexual morality has not changed for 2,000 years until today. And all of a sudden, now it's changing. Whether or not there's a hell has never been questioned among Christians for 2,000 years until now, when all of a sudden the idea of hell is just too much for people to take. Women's roles in the church, perfectly understood for a very long time until now. And now there's a tremendous amount of compromise. Belief in the Bible as the inerrant, perfect, inspired Word of God, very much denied. You would look it up sometime when you get a chance. Look up statistics of preachers, pastors, etc. Look up statistics of men and women who stand in pulpits in America. The percentage of those who do not believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, perfect Word of God. It is frightening. It's unbelievable. How many people are standing in pulpits preaching from a Bible they don't really believe in? The statistics are overwhelming. It doesn't matter, though, because the Word of God is still the same. It doesn't matter that it's contradicted by experts. Experts about all sorts of things will tell us about origins and sexuality and science, all kinds of other stuff, and psychology. And experts will tell us about all that stuff. You know how many experts there are in the world? One. You know how many experts there are in the world? Exactly one. His name is God. He's the only expert. He's the only expert. He's the only one that when He speaks, we can say, yeah, that's it. Every other expert should be questioned. and doubted because they're not really an expert. Only God is an expert, truly, in everything that he talks about. Remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says about God and the wisdom of the world. What does God do to the wisdom of the world? He makes them look like they're sitting in the corner wearing a dunce cap. The smartest people in the world, God puts in the corner. Because his foolishness is greater than their wisdom. Truth never changes. Y'all remember these? You know what that is? A mood ring. Weren't those great? I'm not ashamed to admit it. I had one. I'd have one today if I could find one. I'm not ashamed of it. Mood ring. To many people, truth is like a mood ring. Truth is changeable depending on what you want and how you feel and how your ideas change and how you're doing today and then how you're doing tomorrow and what the psychologists say next week. Truth is not a mood ring. It's a diamond ring. Truth is not a mood ring. Truth doesn't care how you feel. Truth doesn't care how I feel. Right? That mood ring, when you wear that thing, it's going to change all day long. Right? It's going to be changing green and then blue and then pink and then back. It's going to change all day. That diamond ring, how much is that diamond ring going to change? You take that diamond ring and you put it in the ground and you dig it out 500 years from now, guess what? It's going to be exactly like that. It's not going to change. Truth is a diamond ring. It's not a mood ring. It doesn't change. And it doesn't change based on our desires or wants or anything else. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to start a new series on the kingdom of God. And so we want to get very basic, very fundamental, and answer the question next week and in the sermon, what is the kingdom of God? So that we can go forward and talk about having a kingdom mindset. That'll be what we're talking about starting next week. But before we do that, I just want to run some things by you. Based on what we've talked about this morning, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, do you believe that God's truth never changes? And do you act accordingly? If you are a Christian, do you let personal preferences determine your thinking, or do you accept the unchanging truth of God? Parents, those of you who are parents, as am I, are we doing everything that we can to instill a belief in the unchanging truth of God into our kids? I am around a lot of kids. I don't like it, but I get stuck with them. I'm around kids at school. I'm around kids at camp. I'm around kids online. I'm around kids through my kids. I'm around a ton of kids. And we are losing our kids in droves. Droves. We're losing our kids. Left, right, and center. We're losing them. Massively losing them. In large numbers, very quickly. They are rejecting the truth to accept what the culture is saying. They're believing and promoting what they're hearing from entertainers, athletes, peers, professors, media, and all kinds of other places instead of the Bible. They're leaving it very quickly. As parents, are we doing everything we can to make sure that they accept the unchanging truth of God? Young people, and we have several of them here this morning, do you accept the Bible or do you accept culture as your standard? Do you believe the Bible is the unchanging Word of God, or do you take your direction from what is around you? The Moorhead City Church of Christ, and you can apply this to whatever church you might be a part of, but I am talking to the Moorhead City Church of Christ, people who are members of this congregation, you and me. Are you fully committed, as this congregation, are you fully committed to believing and accepting the truth of God as it is, never changing? Or are you adapting what you believe and what you do, and by that process, leading our church into compromise? So that a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, somebody comes back to the Morehead City Church and it is not what it is today. We're believing and doing and promoting and saying what we would never stand for today. You say, that could never happen. It happens all the time. And it could happen to this congregation. Who's it up to? You and me as members of this congregation. To our elders, I would ask you, are you fully committed, our elders, to knowing the truth? Are you fully committed to knowing the truth? To learning what God has said in His Word. Are you fully committed to teaching it? And to make sure that anybody who stands in this pulpit or in a Bible class or in a class in our classroom wing, are you fully committed to making sure that they are teaching the truth and only the truth? Are you fully committed to that? Those who may preach and teach at this congregation, do you study the Bible diligently? Do you know what the Bible says? So that you are assured that you can teach it correctly to those that you're teaching to help them remain committed to the truth. All of us need to answer the question, will you anchor yourself in unchanging truth or drift with the changing trends of culture? All of us have to answer that question because all of us are in danger. If you decide that you want to go to Newport this afternoon, and you go outside, and you're not really sure how to get to Newport, but you go outside, and you lick your finger, and you stick it in the wind, and you say, okay, here's how the wind is blowing. That's how the wind is blowing right now, and I'm going to use the direction of the wind to somehow get me to Newport this afternoon. You're not going to get to Newport this afternoon, because the wind is going to change direction. That's what the wind does. The wind is constantly changing. But if you want to get somewhere, I'll tell you that there is something that you can use. It's called Polaris or the North Star. The North Star has been used by navigators for centuries to get where they were going. Do you know why? Because it's called Polaris. Its position above the North Pole, almost directly above the North Pole, means that even as the Earth spins, guess what Polaris does? Stays in the same place. I know none of them are moving, but you understand what I'm saying. That the North Star doesn't move. And because it doesn't move, navigators have been successfully navigating and getting places for centuries. The truth is not the wind. The shifting trends of culture are not the truth. The truth is in the Bible, and the Bible is unchanging. Never changes. It cannot change. The only question is, what will my personal response to the Bible be? That's the only thing up for debate. Nothing about the Bible is up for debate. Except, what will my response be to it? So we're going to sing the invitation song that Jeffrey announced in just a moment. And as we do that, it's an opportunity for all of us to think carefully about our relationship to the unchanging truth of God. Have you allowed yourself to be moved by culture, by peers, by professors, by friends, by your own desire? If so, you need to correct that. If you are here this morning and realize as we sing this song that you need help making correction, we want to help you with that. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. The only thing we're going to do is sit down with you and a Bible, and we're going to talk about what the Bible says. That's the only thing we're going to talk about, because that's the only thing that matters. If you'd like to do that, or this morning if you're ready to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin, we got everything ready, and you can do it today. Whatever your need, if you want to let us know privately after church, Or you're welcome to come forward and take a seat on the front as we stand and sing.